Well, a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of Terrace Talk. It's Monday the 8th of July and we're here until 8 o'clock this evening digesting all your weekend sport. That was a busy weekend both locally, nationally and of course internationally as well. It's Ivan Hurley in for Donal Barry once again this week, keeping the seat nice and warm for his return next week, where of course we'll be looking back on Kerry against Armagh in the men's football next Monday night, and plenty of digesting to be done from that as well. So you're very welcome along to tonight's edition of Terrace Talk, an action-packed show for you between now and 8 o'clock. We'll talk, of course, about Kerry's fantastic win against Meath in the Ladies All-Ireland quarter-final. They've set up a semi-final now against Armagh. We'll chatting about that very shortly. We'll also take a look at the Garvey's County Senior Hurling Championship. We're definitely due a check-in with our panellists on that this evening, and we'll be chatting that in the first hour. Coming up a little later on then as well, we'll chat to Clarny Celtic as well. They have a novel Sevens tournament coming up at the end of the month. We'll talk to them and see what all that is all about. We'll also talk to Austin Stacks. They're the county under 21 football champions. They beat St. Brendan's board during the week. We'll chat to the Austin Stacks players and management there as well. I would also take a look at the Euros. Are you following the Euros at all? Of course, and the semi-final stage now, semi-finals coming up tomorrow and Wednesday night as well, so things really hotting up there. What do you make of the weekend sporting action? Let us know. You can get us on 066 712 3666. Keane is taking your calls there in Studio One next door. You can text or WhatsApp directly to the studio. It's 083 300 3300, or you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. An action-packed weekend of sport. It could have been a weekend where you could have done with five or six screens at a time and you still wouldn't have had enough televisions or radios in the room. It was quite hectic. It's that time of year in July, and it's great to have so much sport on our doorstep as always. But first up, we're going to chat to Dan Kearney, of course, who was covering Kerry against Meath in the ladies football here in Austin Stack Park on Saturday evening. Comfortable win in the end for the Kingdom over Meath, and they've set up the All-Ireland semi-final now, as we say, against Armagh in 2 weeks' time. Delighted to be joined by Dan Kearney. Dan, a very good evening to you. How are you?
How are things, Ivan? You well?
Very good, very good. Trailing by a point at half-time, big wind against Kerry, but second half really pressed on.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, with the wind at their back into the horns, and then the second half, Kerry really kicked on, and you know, you could even see it coming in the first half, really. I thought they played very, very well into the wind, and you know, they held Meath to 5 points, like, you know, which is fair going, and scored four themselves, so you know, it was always, I could always see a big performance from Kerry in the second half. They pressed up on Monica McGurk's kickouts, and they really, you know, they really made hay there from those, and they punished them to the full and played really, really well. Controlled the game very, very well when they had to. Thought substitutions worked very well. You know, they brought on Lorraine Scanlon there. She did really, really well, and of course, Shiva O'Shea came on and got 3 points. Like, you know, so overall, very, very good day at the office for Kerry. I suppose, look, that wind was a huge factor, and when you were going in just a point down at half time, you know, you would have to be confident that you were going to come out with a big second half, and Kerry did, Ivan.
A good spread of scores as well, Dan. I think 8 in total different scores for Kerry. That's a good sign.
Yeah, different scorers. Yeah, two midfielders. Kieran Murphy got in on the act there from cornerback, scored a lovely little sweet point. Louise Mayer Hurtig gave her a little pass inside the cover, and there she was with number 4 on her back, and she popped it over the bar. A lovely point. And you know, you had 2.5 forward line. You had Louise and Danielle in the full forward line, and you had Sheaf off the bench. Like, so a very, very good spread of scorers there, like, which has been, I suppose, a feature of Kerry all year. Like, you know, maybe in the past they might have been accused of relying maybe an awful lot on Louise to get the big scores, like, but there is a better spread now throughout the team, like, and it's definitely paying fruition. So from that point of view, very, very good. But I suppose, look, overall, you know, you'd say to yourself, it was the work rate by Kerry at the last day. Like, their work rate is phenomenal, and that kind of, like, say, I'll give an example. Hannah O'Donoghue, like, inside in the corner, she didn't get her hands on a huge amount of ball, but the amount of hassling and harrying, and she turned over. She got two very good turnovers. We certainly got one score out of one of her turnovers, you know, just when Meade were coming out with the ball. So that kind of work rate really is priceless.
Yeah, you mentioned work rate as well, and obviously the physicality of it was strong, but there was a lot of running off the ball, which is spotted. Obviously we're watching here and listening to Tim and Breida as well, but there was a lot of movement around the Kerry forwards. Like Meade couldn't kind of predict where anybody was going.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, they were. In fairness, like again, they're all very, very comfortable no matter where they play. You know, they were in and out. You know, you had Emma Dineen going into the full forward line. She spent a good share of time in there. Danielle was coming out to the half forward line. Hannah was going deep. Louise was going deep when she had to. You know, they were kind of interchanging all the time. Even the Conacour put in a massive shift out in the wing. Like I'd say. I think from covering it, she definitely had a hand in the first 3 points that Kerry scored in early on in the game, like when they went 3 points to nil up. Massive game again. That's a huge feature by Niamh Conacour, her work rate again, her interlink play, and sometimes it's kind of underappreciated. But I think you know, anybody that was at the game could see what she put in the last day. But really and truly, I suppose overall, the Kerry defence was outstanding. They hunted in packs and they didn't give Meade an inch, really. You know, every time there was danger, they broke it down. And after that, then they broke at pace, which is the big thing. Which is the big thing now at this stage of the championship. You break at pace and you punish. And in fairness, particularly in the second half, they might have left a few bits behind them in the first half, which is understandable, I suppose, playing into a very, very strong breeze. But in the second half, they really punished on the break.
Have Meade taken maybe a backward step since their All-Ireland successes, Dan? Or are we, you know, we're obviously full of praise for the Kerry side. A 16.8 win is fantastic. But have Meade maybe taken a backward step in your view?
Look, they're in a kind of a transition, really. They've lost a number of players for various reasons. I think was it right in there last week that they from the 2022 All-Ireland final, they might be down 8 starters, you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean that's a fair old turnover there in the last couple of years, you could say. Like, so yeah, they are in a bit of a transition. They wouldn't be the side that they were. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But at the same time, you know, they were coming well this year. Like, you know, they had a mixed enough National League, but they were coming well enough. Now, we always expected Kerry to beat them in Tralee. You know, there was never a doubt. Kerry are an upper trajectory. They're kind of static enough, like, you know, they're kind of in the middle at the moment. They're rebuilding, you know. You had Vicky Wall coming on there at half time. Like, she would have been a major part of their team when they were winning All-Irelands, and you know, she came on, and Kerry didn't give her an inch, really. Like, you know, even players like Emma Duggan, Ciara Murphy was marking her the last day. She's been a huge player for them for the last couple of years. Ciara Murphy didn't give her an inch, you know, that kind of stuff. So certainly they're not the Meade team that they used to be. There's no doubt about that. But look, Kerry could only play what was in front of them, and they punished them accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you surprised by Vicky Wall's inclusion? I mean, I think we heard during the week that there was potential that she'd be back, and then obviously you say came on for the second half. But were you surprised even during the week when you heard the rumours? Was that a big surprise for people?
Yeah, well, it kind of was and wasn't, because I'd heard it last weekend that there was a possibility, but I was kind of saying, like, will the IRFU release her? Like, you know, mm-hmm. she's a professional player on the contract there with them. Like, so even up to the last minute, even up to about 15 minutes, I suppose, before the game, I was talking to, there was a man down from Meath. He was doing a radio broadcast for them, and I was talking to him, and he was saying that he didn't think that she was going to tag out. But the next thing we saw her tagging out with number 30 on her back. So that was a bit of a surprise, all right. Like, you know, but look. It didn't matter to them. The lads were ready for her if it did come on anyway, you know, and that proved, because she went on one massive run right after half time. I suppose she ran 40-50 metres with the ball, but then they kind of closed her out around the D, and maybe she went on one run for the rest of the game, scored a point maybe, but wasn't an influence at all in the game, like, you know. But it was a surprise that she came in, and I'd love to know the background to it. Was she released from her contract? Did she decide to go herself? Who knows? Is there's some backstory there that we haven't heard about anyway, like, because I'm very surprised, like, that you know, it's coming up to the Olympics. Okay, she didn't make the seven squad, she didn't make the two standby players, but what if one of the standby players is called in? Who's going to be the next standby player? You know, so it's interesting from that point of view, and I'd love to know what the what the story is behind it.
Exactly. But look, Kerry won't be too worried about Vicky Waugh. Their next game, of course, taking on Armagh in the semi-final now. Cork against Galway in the opposite semi-final. Armagh, they had a decent win last night. They won by 6 points against Mayo. Do we have a bit to fear in them given the league result earlier this year?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. They're a damn good side. They're a very well coached side, and they're a team that know what they're at. You know, they know they're very, as it's a cliche, but they're very well drilled. You know, mm-hmm. and they know that. No, Amy Mackin is a huge loss to them. There's no doubt about it. She did her ACL a month ago. Huge loss to them. She was a thorn in Kerry's side in that National League game, and has been in the past also. So she's out, but her sister Blaine has really stepped up to the mark. Got player of the match against Mayo, and you know, was outstanding. So now she's a different type of player. She's more kind of a box to box midfielder type player, but she got an outstanding goal in that game. They're good. They're hard working. They're a good team. They have a good spread. They have no major stars now with Amy Mackin gone, you could say. Mm-hmm. They have no standout stars. You could say, no, Lauren McConville, you'd have to say, she's playing outstanding football. Caroline O'Hanlon has been around for donkey's years. She's still doing it in the middle of the field. They're a good, honest side. And they will cause Kerry trouble. It's going to be a damn tough game. Above in Tullamore at 7:30 on Saturday week, so it's not an ideal time, Ivan. But I'm sure that won't worry Kerry. They'll be ready for it.
I know Kerry against Armagh taking all the headlines for throw-in times between the men's and the ladies' footballs in the last week. Yeah. But just to look on the other side of the draw very quickly, Dan. Cork obviously beating Waterford, probably no major surprise there in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. But Galway beating Dublin, that was a fantastic performance.
That was massive game. Like that was like the, it was like similar to the Galway men beating Dublin. Like, you know, as well, like the tribes men and tribes women, they've done the double over Dublin, and that's a huge achievement for them. Like, phenomenal. I mean, they got a goal there in extra time. I thought it was gone from them. I didn't see the whole lot of the game. I saw the extra time, all right, but I thought it was gone. You know, you always kind of fancy Dublin to kind of pull it out and to finish, especially with what they have. But no, Galway got the goal and they pushed on and won the game. And it was a surprise, you know, but Jeannie Macker's fair play to Galway, because I suppose they've been a side that have had a massive underage success the last few years, and it hasn't really transferred itself to their senior team. But now maybe finally they've got things together. They're in an All-Ireland semi-final playing Cork. You know, Cork coming nicely. Nobody's kind of fancying them for an All-Ireland, but there they are. They're in the All-Ireland semi-final. They're playing Galway. Cork won't fear Galway either. Do you know, that's going to be a ding dong game. I wouldn't like to call that game. It's going to be tight in the finish, like, you know. But both sides have a serious chance of getting to an All Ireland final.
Both semi finals are really going to be competitive. It'll be a great entertainment evening in Tullamore. I suppose back to Kerry, Dan, before we wrap things up. I mean, listen to Declan Quill's interview, Oscar, which was fantastic on TG Cahir after the game. I was trying to digest it as best as my Irish English translation would give me, but he was kind of saying along the lines of where I think at the start of the year they talked about, you know, getting to the All Ireland semi final. They've obviously gotten there now, but they'll obviously 100% want to go a step further, and obviously one more again to win it out. But yeah, you know, getting to the semi-final, it's all about winning from here, isn't it?
Yeah, look, semi-finals have to be won, like, you know, again, it's another cliche, but they are, like, you know, there's, it's pointless getting there unless and particularly with this Kerry team. I think even though they've won Munster Championship, I think unless they win All-Ireland this year, they're going to consider this year a failure. You know, it's as simple as that. Dublin knocked out opens it up. It opens it up big time. I know that probably secretly the boys are a bit disgusted at Dublin and gone. I think they felt that they owe them one, you know, that the management team owe them one. But they are gone now, and the truth of the matter is that it does open it up. You know, there's that psychological side of it and all the rest of it. I think Kerry have a serious chance of winning the All-Ireland for the first time since 1993 this year, you know. Do I think they'll get over Armagh? I actually do. I think they'll have too much, particularly without Amy Mackin. I think Kerry will have too much for them. Kerry have a seriously strong bench. The lads have been getting their substitutions right. Like I said earlier, Chief Roche coming off the bench, Lorraine Scanlon coming off the bench. She controlled the airways there near the finish of the game. Katie Brosnan came on and she was very, very lively as well. I honestly, I fancy Kerry now to do the job against Armagh, and we'll see what comes up after that. Like, you know, so yeah, I think anything but an All Ireland this year, the lads will certainly, and the team and squad as a whole, they will consider it a failure.
But it's good to see Kerry have that kind of full squad, Dan, isn't it? That you say, was it the five subs were used on Saturday evening? You know, it seems like a good squad effort from both Declan, Dara, and of course the players as well.
Yeah, well, I suppose they've been saying it all year that they've been building this squad, and that they feel they have the strength and depth now, and they have. It's been like, it's great to have you know, players of that magnitude coming off the bench. And you've other players like, I mean, Kira Butler was outstanding last Saturday. She made an absolutely brilliant save from Marion Farrelly that went over for a point. But like, I mean, you also have Mary Ellen Bulger there, who's like a brilliant replacement if needed, like, you know. So you have fierce strength there, and you have the other girls that I mentioned as well, like, and you also have Cort Lynch coming back to fitness as well. You know, mm-hmm. Cort has been injured there the last few weeks with a hip flexor. She's an all-star, so she's going to be coming back into the mix as well. She's back doing full training. So I mean, they'll be looking at her to give a contribution to the semi-final as well. So you'll have one more there to pick from, like, you know. So that shows the strength that they have in depth at the moment, which you need at that level. You need strength and depth, because you need game changers when required. I mean, there's been times this year where Louise Nemera Hertig has been used sparingly and come on and made a huge contribution. So the lads seem to go in general low. Kind of horses for courses, like, you know. But I must mention Aoife Delane as well there. She's come in kind of, you know, she's been a bit player there the last couple of years. I'm sure she won't mind me saying that, but she's come in and done a fantastic job there in the absence of Cort Lynch at halfback. I thought she was very, very good inside in Tralee the last day. Very physical, very strong, you know, and focused. So yeah, there is strength there at the moment, Ivan, there's no doubt about it.
Final word on the game before we let you go, Dan. I mean, fantastic crowd there, and as you'd expect at this stage for a fantastic Kerry ladies team, but it's great to see such a big turnout for them, and the support is there for them, especially in a home quarter final.
It was fantastic. There's something about an All Ireland quarter final inside in Austin Stack Park in July. There's something about it. When we had one last year, it was pouring rain, there was a strong wind, and they beat Meath. Big crowd again the last day, a huge amount of kids. It was fantastic to see. They made a lot of noise, and after the game there was a phenomenal amount of kids getting autographs outside the field. I mean, David Cockery's photograph there, mm-hmm. With Louise de Merhurtig and the two kids, I think it's a fantastic photograph, and it kind of summed it all up. And the management were signing signing autographs, and they were sending kids over to different players, and it was all a very, very good atmosphere. And it was fantastic that it got a crowd like that, and long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely, and well deserved. Dan, we'll park it there for now. I'm sure we'll be chatting before the semi-final again, and hopefully looking ahead to an All-Ireland final as well, but plenty of excitement to come over the next couple of weeks for the Kerry ladies. Dan, thanks again.
Sound of the bell, Ivan. Cheers.
Brilliant stuff, Dan Carney there. Freelance sports reporter, of course, our very own Dan Carney. Well used to hearing Dan on the airwaves as well, and thanks for taking time out of his Monday evening there to review the Kerry ladies' fantastic 16-8 win over Meath, as I say, in the All-Ireland quarter-final up against Armagh now in a doubleheader in Tullamore on Saturday week. Of course, Galway and Cork playing in the other semi-final. So fantastic times. Well done to the Kerry ladies, and Declan and Dara, of course, as well, on another fantastic achievement getting to the All-Ireland semi-final. So plenty to digest, as we say, after the weekend. We'll be chatting hurling shortly. I'm sure we'll give a quick mention to the All-Ireland semi-finals as well. Two cracking contests in Croke Park on Saturday and Sunday. The drive for five for Limerick has come to an end with the Rebels booking their place in the final against the Banner. Any views on any of that happened over the weekend? Of course, Ireland went down to South Africa in the rugby test, another thrilling game of rugby in Pretoria, of course, as well. Ireland with a couple of injury concerns for next week as well. Plenty of other bits and pieces on over the weekend. There was Wimbledon, Tour de France, British Grand Prix, of course, Lewis Hamilton making history, won 9 Grand Prix in the same circuit for the first time ever, and at his home race as well. Fantastic scenes in Silverstone over the weekend. There was so much on over the weekend, it was hard to keep track of everything. But after the break, we'll be keeping track of the Garvey Supervalu County Senior Hurling Championship.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee. where being local means coming home.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan in for Donal on this nice enough Monday evening, in fairness, after all the poor weather we've been having over the last while. It's great to see a bit of dry weather here in Tralee. Hi, Ivan. Well done to the Kerry Ladies and their win over Meath. The tough game against Armagh awaits. Two great hurling semi-finals. Any chance the football semi-finals will be as good? I live in hope. That's from Charles. Yeah, I agree with you, Charles. If we have anything like that entertainment that we had the weekend, next weekend, it's always entertaining when Kerry are involved anyway, but wouldn't it be fantastic to see something like that once Kerry are on the right side of it against Armagh next weekend, of course, as well. But what has been entertaining so far has been the Garvey Super Value County Senior Hurling Championship, really starting to spring to life now, and we hit the last eight stage of the competition, of course, quarterfinals coming up across Friday, Saturday and Sunday in Austinstack Park, and it's all the big hitters left in the competition, so there'll be some upsets come next weekend. So we're joined by the regulars, James McCarthy and Restard O'Faron is joining us on the phone as well. Lads, you're very welcome.
Hi, Ivan, how you doing?
How are we doing?
Good, Restard, good. So everyone here. So I'm actually going to start with Group 3 because you've got a Croaksman sitting behind the microphone, you've got a Kilmighty man on the far side of me, and you've got a Ballyhig man on the other side. I suppose we'll kind of run through the groups first before we look ahead, I suppose, to the quarterfinals. Group 3 was an exciting one, especially for Ballyhig, Restard.
A great win at the start, but I suppose we have to be mindful of the Kilmighty team we faced at the start too, you know. They were missing Daniel and Paddy Morris and Coleman, and of course they had other things on their mind as well, you know, that a tragedy as well. So obviously you know, we went in well, we hurled well. I mean, I suppose the standout performer for Kimayla team was Ronan Walsh. She was still outstanding, but yes, we put in a good performance. But I suppose we had to put in perspective, as I said, it was a weakened Kilmoyle team that evening, but a great win, good performance, and we follow that up then with a win against Dr. Croke. So, yeah, it's a young team, and we're going well. So, you know, it's going to be tough next Sunday, but it's great to be there, and we'll give a good lash.
Would it be fair to say, Restard, at Ballyhig, I suppose the last couple of years have been seen as the easy touch in the championship, maybe, and this year might be something small but different?
Well, yeah, I suppose there is no issue, I suppose, with the level of hurling. I mean, there are good hurlers on the Ballyhig team, but I suppose the issue with the last few years was experience. They were very young, and therefore they had to, I suppose, serve their apprenticeship, as the man says. So, look, that was done. We had a few tough games over the last few years, learned a few lessons, and, you know, we go forward now. I suppose more experienced. These young players are more experienced, and, you know, going well so far, and you know, hopefully on Sunday now we can cause another upset, but it's going to be tough. Crossy are a serious side, they're going well, and but as I say, it's a learning process, and it's you know, we're looking at progression in Ballyhig, you know. And hopefully, you know, we'll be thereabouts.
Absolutely. James Kilmoyle, I suppose, look, have to touch, obviously, look, it's been a tragic couple of weeks in the club and everything else, and probably the County Hurling Championship had to take a backseat for a while, but look, still came through the group, that win over Croaks and Clarny as well. They're on a trajectory that's probably not that we're used to seeing from Kilmoyle, but it'll be interesting to see how Sunday goes for them as well.
Yeah, I suppose you take it in isolation, I suppose, really, Ivan, you say this is Kilmoyle Causeway. Everything else you've done before, whatever's gone before, goes out the window. A bit like Cork last Sunday. Cork came in off the back of Offaly in Dublin matches. You'll be looking as a Christ, where are they going? But you'll think, I think this game will take on a life of its own. Like even Restard, I feel sorry for Ballyhig. They kind of got a poison chalice, really, by winning the group. They got the favourites, Crotty, like poor Restard. I know Restard could be curtains for either team, Kilmoyle or Ballyhig. Like, but I think Kilmoyle, look, they need a performance. And Causeway and Kilmoyle over the last couple of years, either it's either been Kilmoyle or Causeway who won the championship final, so they bring the best out of each other. So I hopefully this will kickstart. Well, Causeway going in good form though, they're in great form. We said it, Ivan, we talked about it. And even you saw yourself when they played Croaks the weekend, like how good they are, like, and they're really flying. So it's going to be tough.
Absolutely. Kilmoyle came to Croaks on a Thursday night. We didn't have to be segregated. I was asking for security to make sure myself and James were on opposite sides of the stand, but Croaks, I mean, obviously Croaks and Parnells were obviously always going to be the weaker teams coming into the championship. I think a lot of people knew that. But to be fair to Croaks, I mean, relatively speaking, beaten well by Ballyhig, but put up a good score. Another night you know, a lot of the times hearing from people that were at the game were saying that, you know, there's a lot of frees that Crokes were in for chances. It was a case of they weren't just popping frees that were one out in the middle of the park. Kilmaidy, you saw that night, a good run for Crokes. And against Causeway, to be fair, it was only the last 10 minutes that Causeway started putting up a big score against them. It was probably their best of the 3 years to date.
I think so, guaranteed. And like we've said it before, Ivo, they have to stay there. Like, I know there was talks that they thought maybe they weren't strong enough, but it doesn't matter. You cannot build if you're not at the top table, as they say. And look, I hope they say that, because I think they've added something to this year. And I think being over in Lewis Road added to the sense of occasion in this championship, really. And we talk about that even over historic occasion. Like, in Crokes were always over in Lewis Road, you ain't going to get it soft. Yeah. And we saw it in the County League last year when they had a real strong team in the County League. They won a lot of games in Lewis Road. And everyone's going to chase me every time we go over there, you're going to get a right game. I think they beat Affert and they beat. I know they'd be playing high overlays. They won two Causeway, yeah. So they're beating top teams in Lewis Road. So we knew when we were over there, it was going to be tough. But as you said, against Causeway, Causeway are going well. And even maybe that was just a step too far. It was towards the end of the game, it really was. But they're clinical. But I thought it was a very, very good year for them, in fairness. And something to build on, really something to build on.
They were 1-1 to no score up after 11 minutes against Causeway last Friday night, and I was roaring for the referee to blow the final whistle. We're starting just on the Croke side of things. I mean, look, you know, you saw them against Ballyhaig as well. Definitely a strong year for Crokes this year, and hopefully, as you say, something that can build on, as James says.
Yeah, and as James said there, like, you never get it easy over in Lewis Road. We would play them on St. Patrick's Day, and it was a good battle, you know, and we managed to pull away at the end. But I was impressed by a number. I know that they lost, you know, but we pulled away at the end. But I was impressed with a couple of them. Obviously, Mark Heffernan, and of course, Mr. Quirkin Goals is an outstanding keeper. Very impressed as well with Conor O'Hare. Fine, fine hurler. So as James says, it's important that themselves and Paris, they stay there. This is like ourselves in Ballyhaig. We took us a few years to develop and to progress as well. So, yeah, definitely they have to stay there and progress. And we hope they will progress. And obviously, you know, there's work to be done. You know, obviously underage and so on and so forth. That has to be worked upon as well. But you know, it's once you can see the progress, that's the most important thing.
Just, I'm going to mention this one to you, Richard, as well. I can even weigh James on, but we mentioned the game being on in Lewis Road. I know it was a Thursday night, but in fairness to Kilmaidy, had a good crowd there as well. Is there appetite in the championship to play maybe one group game at home, one away, and one in Austinstack Park or in Fitzgerald Stadium or in a neutral ground of some description in the early stages of the competition? Because there was a bit of life around Crokes, and I've been involved there for years, and there was a good crowd there. There was something. It was more than a league game, let's put it that way, you know, in Lewis Road. And it was a proud, I felt proud going there watching Crokes play a county senior hurling championship game in Killarney, and be it Lewis Road or Fitzgerald Stadium. Is there appetite in the championship for, you know, games to be played outside of Austinstack Park? Not saying anything about the facility. It's great, and it's a great honour to be able to play there as well. But would two North Kerry teams playing in Abbey Dorney against Kilmaidy in Abbey Dorney add a good bit of spice to the group stages?
I think the reason that there wasn't spice, as you say, was because it was knockout. I felt that was there. I mean, okay, we won against Kilmaidy, but coming out that evening, we knew very well that Kilmaidy would be back again, do you know what I mean? And you know, we'd be Crokes as well, that Crokes would have another bite of the cherry, as they say. So I think the lack of bite was due to the absence of knockout, and people saying, actually, we'll be back in again. But no, it's not something that we've actually discussed with regard to home and away, but it does, especially in Abbey Dorney, there is more of an atmosphere in Abbey Dorney, because, you know, I think it's just you know, we're used to play there, and we play some big games there. And I don't know, I think it's more intimate, and you know, there's a great atmosphere in Abbey Dorney. But no, it's not something that I suppose that we've discussed and has come up with regard to home and away. But yeah, it's an option, but people like to go into Austinstack Park as well. And I think, you know, especially young players, they love to say, look, it's great to be in Austinstack Park, because there's, you know, it's the place where county championships have been won and lost as well. So it's a great venue as well, and has great significance also.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And played Austinstack Park a couple of times myself in my younger days. It's you know, it is a fantastic venue, and it is that sort of intimacy around it as well. It's obviously a lot smaller than Fitzgerald Stadium. You can get kind of lost inside there. But same to you, James. Would you like to see kind of a home championship game for Kilmaidy in Kilmaidy at some point? And then obviously you're going to go into the Dragons Den somewhere for your away game, and maybe one bumper weekend in Austinstack Park for the final one.
Yeah, do you know, I'd be a big advocate for playing a lot of games in North Kerry, because, like, we're coming from 2015. We won in Neve Dorney, so we've no problem at all doing it outside the big show. If we have to, we can move virtually and do it outside as well. There's no problem. I would play the early rounds out there. You've definitely got Lixnair, Abidorny, Kilmiley, Causeway, Ballyduff. That's definitely five I can name straight off the top of my head that can accommodate games, no problems. And even, like, most of these games, if you, you could say the rivalry that would be there, like, as you say, make it neutral if you want to. Like Kilmiley and, say, Kilmiley and Causeway playing Abidorny, what would be wrong with that? Abidorny could play over in Kilmiley against Lixnair or something. Something like the Abidorny and Affert game, play that in Kilmiley. Like, they're the games you want. I'm sure you'd have a huge crowd in those venues. And, like, the bite, there is a bit of spice in it. And, like, you still have, it's still the same atmosphere, just different venue, but I'd have no problem with it. And as you say, move the final or the semi final into Stex. Then that's a novelty. Then maybe that might get the, they're saying, maybe it'll get the players a bit more. It should. It should.
No. Oh, definitely. And, like, I know from going out with Crokes to North Kerry, big fan bases in these, you know, tight ground, there's always tough places to go. We got a bit sidetracked. We move on to Group 2, Lixnaw, Abidorny, Parnells. Fairness to Parnells, they gave it a right rattle in the first game against Lixnaw. I know Abidorny, it was a rude awakening for Parnells, and then into the preliminary quarter final against St. Brendan's out in Abidorny. But a good positive first year for Parnells, James.
Do you know it was? Their first game was, as you said, Ivo, the first game of Lixnaw was their chance. Lixnaw were not really going well at that stage, and Parnells on that night, maybe if they just a bit more drive, a bit more confidence, as you say, but they lost a lot of players, and you could see it even against St. Brendan's now the last night over in Abidorny. It was different class. They were just totally outclassed. I don't mean that in a bad way, but, like, no different to Crokes. Stay where you are and learn from it. Like Cahill Dunne and some of the young lads there, it was Eddie Sheehy, Cahill Dunne, Tigbrick, they were still very good on the night, but just St. Brendan's got goals and got scores at the exact, the right times for him. Straight after time, they got a goal early on, and they kind of set about Parnells, and they knew maybe they were trying to play on their inexperience, but I think they have to stay there. They really do. And I can see from their teams coming up, you see underage at the minute, Parnells are a force underage. They're getting a lot of failure finals, winning failure finals, competing at highest level in minors as well. So they'll have to stay there. And they will stay there, I think. They're a club, progressive club. So in fairness, the first game was their best game. After, I didn't think they'd perform very well. But look, I'd still have faith in them and keep that. They're going the right way.
Absolutely. And same to you, Restart. I mean, James mentioned there perfectly, and actually cast my mind back to Croke's first game in the Championship 3 years ago when Abidorny won out by, I think, 2 points in the end. It was quite a closely fought contest in Austin's Attack Park as well. So move on 3 years, and Parnells made their debut in the Championship, and as I say, ran Lixnaw close in that first game. As James said, that might have been the one that they had to win. But again, a good positive year, Restart, for Parnells, and definitely one to build on, especially the fact you get the third game as well. So they've had three senior games in their first year.
Yeah, Parnells, obviously, in the first game against Lixnaw, I mean, that was a shock, really. I suppose people expected Lixnaw to win comfortably, and I wasn't at it, but I understand the Parnells weren't looking at to get a draw.
They were.
And then, you know, they had a road awakening against Abidorny. I'm just, with regard to Parnells, we see them, sure, we play them a lot at underage level, and we know they're failure champions, and we're still heartbroken after that. But, and we see the quality that they have coming up. But I suppose we have to be realistic. There are competing sports, and that is my concern for Parnells. All the great hurlers we've seen with Parnells up through the years, you know, they are also good footballers. They're also good soccer players. And when it comes to a certain age, then, you know, and if they're proud Rockies or Kims O'Reilly's men or Mitchell's men or Nagail, you know, obviously the draw. I mean, out here, for example, in Ballyhigh, the draw will always be to hurling, you know, and people will say, hurling is my first sport. I love football, but hurling is my first sport. And the same in town, you know, you have good lads there, you know, who we saw, you know, down through the years playing with the Parnells, excellent lads like Young Kearns and all those. They are excellent, but then when they come to a certain age, you know, they're good footballers as well, and that is a challenge. That is a massive challenge for Parnells, because there is quality there, but unfortunately the guys who are good at the hurling are also good at the big ball.
Would there be more of a draw towards the hurling, the fact that they're playing senior county championship now as opposed to intermediate or Restart? Is there kind of a bigger prize on offer when, you know, you can go on and play senior county hurling or senior county championship hurling for Parnells as opposed to maybe the intermediate? And is that step to senior a positive for keeping players?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I mean, if you were saying, oh, we're playing intermediate this year, they'll say, yeah, right, we might win an intermediate championship. But we're going senior this year, lads, and it's all in, and come on, let's rattle the senior championship. Of course,
that would be more attractive.
Absolutely. Group one, quickly enough, it was the group of death, James, as everyone billed it. St. Brendan's and Causeway came through the preliminary quarterfinals. So you've all your four teams from your group of death still through. That probably did take a small bit from it. I know you wanted to avoid those preliminary quarterfinals, but they both went in as big favourites into them anyway. But a tasty little group to maybe whet the appetite for what's to come.
Definitely. And you know, it's really of benefit to those four teams. And really, maybe if you look at Ivo, if we were to do the same kind of drawing situation next year, we'd seed a lot of teams. So you couldn't have a group of debt, but you wouldn't have maybe four really powerful teams in the same group. But it stood to them. You could see definitely Causeway, how they benefit. But then look at the opposite of that. St. Brendan's, kind of when they played, came across Causeway, they really looked like dead in their feet. Now, they did come back against Parnell and maybe get the show on the road again, but we'll see the benefit of those games that they've played now the weekend. Like, I think all those games they played against each other will stand to each other. But now, looking at it, Kilmiley, maybe Abidori hanging in the long grass, maybe this is a different kind of a tag of a lot of those teams. They'll say, hang on a minute, look, we haven't played these guys. Like, so I mean then the repeat pairings, well, you saw that there's no repeat pairings in the quarterfinals and in the semis, so it could throw up a few problems yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And Restart, the same to you. That group one, as we mentioned, build to, as a group of death, but again, plenty of experience for these team, having played, you know, three tough matches throughout the group, and they'd be fighting fit for the quarterfinals.
Absolutely. And I think I'd be sort of in favour of seeding, but when there is no team going out, isn't it great, you know, when you're ballyed up there, you're playing Crossy, Causeway and Alford, isn't that great preparation for the quarterfinals? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it will stand to them. I agree 100%, even though I prefer seeding, but these tough games will stand to those guys.
Absolutely. We'll take a quick break. Any views on the county's senior hurling championship to date, let us know. You can get us on 083 300 3300, that's text or WhatsApp, or you can give Keane a buzz on 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're here till 8 o'clock this evening. It's Ivan in for Donal for the remainder of the evening. Donal will be back next weekend again to review the big football game next weekend. We're in the midst of our chat about the County Senior Hurling Championship. We'll obviously talk some about the All-Ireland semi-finals being the weekend that was as well. We move on to the quarter-finals. Friday night, the first game's at 7 o'clock. Abidorny against St. Brendan's. Abidorny, James, mentioned already, came through that group two fairly strongly, and St. Brendan's needed the preliminary quarter final out of the group of dead of finally poised game.
You kind of wonder, looking at Parnell's and St. Brendan's, the match they played, Ivo, they kind of stumbled across the system, I thought. Not stumbled, but just because Finan was missing. They played Iarnán and Liam Morgan's side. They looked a huge threat. Iarnán was massive on the line. He was man of the match. He got a goal, and he could have got two or three more goals. Every time he got the ball, he was a threat inside. He carried ball. He just went at the defence every time. And Liam Oak played off him, and Graham Horan as well. So I think, I kind of said before, they were slacking a bit up front, but last Friday night, they looked like plenty up front. And from bringing Finan there as well, maybe Nathan Driscoll into their forward line. And Seamus Holleran came on and got 4 points. So they really got to find the right formula, I think. The backs, it depends on Dahi. Dahi got a bad injury as well, so he'll be... could be under pressure, but Abidorny are on form. I've always seen it. Mike Leary's firing well. Like, that'll be a tasty matchup. I presume Eric Lean will take him. He'll have to take him, really. There's no other man who can match him, maybe size wise in county, two county lads. I know Michael's not involved with county, but he should be involved with the county. But what an operator. But Abidorny's strength all around the field, it'll be a very, very dangerous game. I know we could call draw in every game, but that's going to be a close one.
Yeah, there's a lot of 50-50 encounters here. It's the heavyweights. Restart Saturday at 2 o'clock, the sole game. And Ostertag Park is bayed off against Lixnaw. Again, they're all mouth watering, all these ties, aren't they?
They are indeed, and I suppose Lixnaw, you know, they needed Shane to come back, and when he came back, he made an impression straight away. Bideoff are on fire, of course. Mr. Goulding is the Goulding name again, of course, is doing damage, and outstanding hurlers, all the Gouldings, and there is the one thing about Bideoff, they have an awful goal threat inside. You know, they are finding the net. And Causeway as well, but you know, Ballydough are very, very dangerous inside, and they would be hard to stop.
Staying with you, Restart, Ballyhigh and Crott only has got the action underway in the doubleheader on Sunday against the county champions. We're chatting the weekend and they're saying there's no major pressure on Crott only, as the pressure was getting the 50 plus year gap off their backs. That's now gone. A dangerous animal in Crott for Ballyhigh?
I beg your pardon?
Is it a dangerous animal for Crott against, or for Ballyhigh against the county champions?
Yeah, of course, but sure, whoever we meet is going to be tough. Do you know what I mean? They're no easy draws at all, Ivan. Crotty are good, they're excellent. Shane is on fire, of course. But I suppose our relatively inexperienced team will go in. They'll give you a good lash. It's great to have Michael and Colin back. I think Philip is playing well, Eric is playing well, Nathan out in the half-forward line, I think, is a good move. So, yeah, obviously, you know, the Crotty will be red-hot favourites on Sunday. But,
he's played it down.
Yeah.
I did not interrupt you, James. I think we go in there with and we give it a good lash, irrespective of what James thinks.
That'll be close. I'm telling you, it'll be a close encounter.
That'll be close. And then obviously the second of the doubleheader Sunday really is a mouth-watering doubleheader, Kilmoyle against Causeway. James, I mean, I watched Causeway against Crokes, in fairness, they finished the game so strongly, but the start, after 50 minutes Crokes were level with them. They were 1-1 to no score up. I think it took 11 minutes for Causeway to get a first point over the bar. Now, in fairness, conditions were horrendous. I was delighted I was in the dry press box, but is that a worry maybe for Causeway coming in, that they have to start a bit brighter?
Yeah, I've seen it in a lot of their games. They nearly seem to be fighting an uphill battle all the time. They dig themselves a little bit of a hole, no, unlike Miley as well, but at times they dig a bit of a hole and they find a really dig. They never stop fighting. Now, we'll give that. I watched a lot of their matches. They're constantly battling. Even in one of their matches, they're down 14 men as well. So they've really come through a rocky road, and they're well used to it. But I think, like I said earlier, it's Kilmoyle Causeway. That's it. They're champions for the last number of years, both of them, and it's going to be Christ. I'm actually nervous. I'm going to sit behind the press box actually night and close my eyes on Sunday, because I don't think I can watch it. It's going to be that close. I think it's really going to be that close. What we bring, I'm not sure. I don't know.
If you were lining out, would you be as nervous?
I was never nervous lining out. I'm an awful nervous supporter, desperate supporter. That's why I can't stay on the line at all. I have to eat maybe a bag of sweets or get something chocolate bar to chew on, but I think it's going to be nail biting stuff. That's really going to be a big one. And the one before, I think that's Sunday's a real big day in town. It's going to be two really good games. I look forward to them. I'll be in there early, get my seat up on the terrace, hopefully hide on my own in the corner where I can sneak in and sneak out if I have to, but I'm going to be looking through my fingers, I'm afraid, at that one. It's going to be really close.
But we talk about the format and obviously everybody getting the three games, some had four. I mean, this now is the knockout. This is the parish against parish, neighbouring parish, yes, against each other. You still can't beat knockout hurling, no matter what competition it's in. And we've seen it in All-Ireland series and Munster Championship has been so tight over the last couple of years in the group stage, but until it gets to this knockout,
it's different gravy, Ivo, you know yourself. And we, coming from where we were with Kilmoyle, before we won one, it was knockout every year. And there is pain in that too.
It builds you
as a player though. You know yourself going into Tralee, you've one chance. You've got to perform here. There's no tomorrow. There is no definitely tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There has been for the last 14, 15 games we've had in the championship. But Sunday when you go in, that's do or die. There is no training Tuesday night. If you lose, good luck, you're out.
God, if you needed a promotional video, ring James McCarthy anyway, because I'm getting hyped up here in the studio. That's the next weekend. There was plenty of people hyped in Croke Park, especially our colleagues in C103 yesterday. This is how the closing stages of Cork against Limerick played out in Croke Park from the upper deck of the Hogan Stand.
One more moment to decide everything here. Limerick have to get a goal or otherwise it's over. If they get a goal, Cork will suffer a dramatic defeat. The free is taken, it's heading for Galan, it's gone inside to Rob Downey, he's the ball in the hand, he's trying to come out, he gives it back to Patrick Collins, the referee looks at the watch, he gives it to Shane Kingston has it, we're in stoppage time, Cork lead by two, it's over. Cork are in the All-Ireland final. It is all for Limerick. At last, the champions have been beaten. The rain in green is ended, and the rebel rising is complete. The drive for five is over, and Cork are alive. And All-Ireland final day is going to become reality.
Yeah, fantastic words there from C103. It kind of summed it all up. Rich Darragh, a 2-point win for Cork in the end to derail Limerick's drive for five.
Absolutely brilliant. What a game. What a win by Clare, of course, on Saturday, first of all. But yesterday, what really impressed me was the intensity of Cork. And you know very well, like, if you want to beat Limerick, then you're going to have to bring massive intensity. Cock brought it in spades. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. I know, you know, that you can talk about players around the field, and types of Downey is centre back. You know, what a performance by him. And as John Kiley said afterwards, you know, he was asked by the RTE guy, you know, with Cock, they hunted and closed Limerick down. And, you know, I think, you know, people were writing Cock off early in the year, but boy, you know, what a team, what a performance, as I say, what intensity, what heart. And they'll be hard to stop in the final.
James, the Munster Championship win in Páirc Uí Chaoimh for Cork against Limerick, there was so much commentary on the time the fans came onto the pitch. Someone said it was like they're after winning the All-Ireland. Did that give Cork the belief going in yesterday they can beat this Limerick team again? Like, we talk about Rowan Robbins, we're only finished talking about it in the County Championship, but like, a win over a team that you've already played in the Championship, go up to Croke Park in front of a full house, did that give Cork that belief yesterday?
Definitely. And you know what, I think more than anything else, Ivo, it showed them how to beat Limerick. Not that they'd beaten him, but it showed them how. We got a run at them and we got a score. Everyone's Cork forwards yesterday pinned the Limerick backs back as far as I've ever been. I've never seen Hannon and Burns and Hayes under so much pressure. Like, you would hardly get 4 points. You had Dickie Dalton got 3 points. And I think at the other side, like, you had Hoggy scoring, you had Shane Barrett scoring. Everyone in the Cork forwards got 2 or 3 points each from play. I've never seen Limerick under so much pressure. And the Cork backs, like Rich Darragh said, Downey, God, Sean O'Donoghue, Mark Coleman, these fellas, Christ, they were brilliant. Joyce, Kieran Joyce, they were superb. Like, they really, as you say, it did give them a formula and it gave them the confidence. They really nailed their colours to the mast. We're going to run at Limerick. They pinned their whole game plan on that. And if it failed, that's the way they were going to go down. They were going to go down running at Limerick, and that was it. And it came true yesterday. But man, what a day! What a performance, and what an occasion! 80,000. Like, even I talked to fellas at the match, and they said it was a privilege to be in there. And Cork, of course, party poopers again. They did it to poor old Kilkenny. They did it again to Limerick. What is it about a drive for five they don't like? They haven't done it themselves, so nobody else is going to do it. If Cork don't do it, they don't want anybody to do it.
Yeah, Richard, just on the drive for five, as a Kilkenny man, I was heartbroken in 2010. I'll tell you that. But I mean, like, we've seen Dublin do it in the football. They went for the six, in fairness. But like, to even comprehend being even this close that Limerick and Kilkenny got to a five in a row in hurling, that it's a sport that's, you know, probably margins are even narrower than they are in football regarding the difference between the teams. And every year it's nearly a roll of a dice between, you know, four or five different teams you'd say, you know, could win it. And everyone had backed Limerick this year coming in as well, and it just goes to show, you know, they're out now. Like, will we ever see a five in a row done in hurling? Was this one of our last chances, or are we only seeing the start of dominance from different teams?
Yes, definitely. I mean, and of course we look at Saturday as well. Of course, Kilkenny were probably favourites coming in on Saturday as well. Do you know what I mean? But it is very difficult because there is so little between them. I suppose if you look at the football, as you said, Dublin, okay, they were challenged by Kerry, but they were a dominant force in football, you know. And you know, and Kilkenny were a dominant force in Limerick. You know, Limerick, they haven't gone away at all. You know, they may be back.
Absolutely not.
They're a great side. They will be back again. They lost, you know, if the ball dropped in yesterday and one pull, and we'd be looking at Limerick in the final against their dear neighbours, Clare. And, you know, Limerick will be back, but it is difficult because the margins are so fine and the teams are so well prepared, and, you know, it will be difficult for a team to have that sort of a role, you know?
Absolutely. And just to talk about Saturday, James, Clare 6 points down, at 1 point Kilkenny. Did Kilkenny definitely leave it behind them?
Oh, fact. It was so uncharacteristic of Kilkenny. I've looked at and watched Kilkenny for many years. I said, this is over. Only for Clare goalie in the first half, they were 10 points up. They did it Clare last year. They hammered them in the first half, and Clare the second half, it was kind of like a procession, really. I was so surprised at Kilkenny. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, really, because not being unfair to Clare now, I don't think there's much in them. Tell you the truth, I don't think they'll go anywhere near Cork. If Cork produced that level of performance yesterday, they won't go near, they won't touch them. But then again, that game takes on life of its own. Clare have beaten Cork this year, already in the championship, so we can write off Clare. But Kilkenny left it after him. Like, you don't see TJ Reid missing frees. You don't see the goal chances they had missed either. Like, it was so uncharacteristic of Kilkenny. And the way they started, I thought this game is over. I thought Clare were going to be blown out of the water. But in fairness, give Clare credit. Mm-hmm. They dug in when they had to. Shane O'Donnell, Tony Kelly, Duggan. Duggan was superb. Eve McInerney at the back, they were awesome. The two cornerbacks, mm-hmm. and the man even from young Lean, Irish Dard knows. Afra connections, they're huge, Afra connections. And Hogan, the other side, plays in the Fitzgibbon Cup early in the year out in Abidorny. Brilliant. They had two brilliant games. But Mullen's only back from injury. And Cody's not back long either. So I think that's where they lacked a bit of match sharpness, I think, slightly. And they weren't as sharp as they could be. I felt sorry for Kilkenny, really, because I was hoping for a Limerick-Kilkenny final, because I thought there would really be a powerhouse pairing, but no, we've got a totally different final.
Totally different final. Restart again, disappointing obviously from a Kilkenny point of view. I thought Owen Cody's goal was spectacular. I think the commentator on the telly said it was something out of Wimbledon, the one-handed flick over the head. But Clare in the end, to be fair, finished so strongly, and I think at the very end Clare did deserve to win. I think it went into extra time. Kilkenny would have nearly robbed him because the last 10 minutes were so poor.
Yeah, and as James says, the way the game started is on no kicking or flying here now. And then Aver Quilligan.
Oh no, he says.
when the keeper is always saying, you know, at half time, you know, you give two ticks, and I think one of them was to Aver Quilligan. Do you know what I mean? So when your keeper is your star, then you're probably under a small bit of pressure. But the second half, I think the second half, I know you can pick Tony Kelly and those, I think Shane O'Donnell. You know,
he drove at Kilkenny.
And you know what? He's a pocket rocket. He's an outstanding hurler. And Kilkenny, you know, they just couldn't handle him. And you know, and I think that he was the man who just said, right, okay, they probably got a tongue lashing at halftime. And I think it's O'Donnell that says, right, we're not going down without a fight. And he really ran at Kilkenny and took the fight to Kilkenny and inspired his colleagues. And different second half.
Absolutely. Lads, thanks so much for joining us. We're completely out of time. Adam was head for news at 7, but we're very much looking forward to those quarterfinals next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Make sure you get into Ossetek Park to see what should be fantastic hurling. Now it's time for news at 7 o'clock.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, you're welcome back to hour two of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley in for Donal Barry until 8 o'clock this evening. Best of luck to the Kerry teams this weekend facing a tough game against Armagh. That's from Mick in Summerhill. Mick, thanks for getting your call in this evening. Congratulations to the Kerry senior ladies and management on a good win on Saturday, and best of luck to the Kerry senior team and management this weekend up the Kingdom. That's from Dermot and Margaret Ann. Thanks for that. Have to disagree with the idea of playing some of the club hurling championship games outside of Ossetek Park. The club pitches are too tight, whereas Stacks is the space and creates the atmosphere. That's from a Tralee caller. Yeah, no, 100% definitely agree with that one. Plenty of space in around Ossetek Park, and of course can hold big crowds as well. Just talking maybe from a group stage point of view, similar to maybe what used to be the scenario in the All-Ireland football. Now you have your home game, your away game, and neutral game. Would it be nice to clubs to have their home game at their home pitch in front of a good home support, and could lead to some cracking ties and atmosphere as well? But understand that some club pitches are tight as well. That's understandable. Wyre County Hurling Championship quarterfinals taking place on Saturday evening when our Kerry senior footballers are playing Croke Park. A lot of North Kerry club members who love hurling also follow the Kerry footballers. Yeah, get where you're coming from. Of course, Saturday at 2 o'clock is Baiduff against Lixnaw before the Kerry footballers playing at 5:30, of course. So clashing, yes, in the fact that you won't make it to Croke Park after being in Ossetek Park on Saturday, but not clashing in a way where you'd be able to get to the hurling game and listen in or watch the Kerry football game. But I see your point. You can't make it to both games, which is obviously the most important clash of the day. So hurling game on Saturday at 2 o'clock in Ossetek Park. Those fixtures, actually, we went through them a little earlier on, just to give you the times and details for them. We'd only take on St. Brendan's on Friday from 7, as you mentioned, then by by Duff against Lixnaw from Saturday on Saturday from 2 o'clock. Then it's a double bill on Sunday, Ballyhigh against Crotta O'Neill's from 1:30 on Sunday, and then 3:30 Kilmoyle versus Causeway. So a double header on Sunday in Austinstack Park there. So that should be some mighty hurling action right across the weekend. Next weekend. Time though to chat a bit of soccer and a very novel tournament coming up on the 27th of July in Killarney Celtic. It's a 7-a-side tournament running for 12 hours across the day, a 12-hour spectacular according to social media. Delighted to be joined now by Killarney Celtic's vice chairman, that's Paul Sherry. Paul, you're very welcome along to Terrace Talk. Good evening to you.
Good evening, Ivan. Thank you.
No problem. Lovely to have you on. It's a nice little novel idea, and the 12-hour spectacular caught my eye on the roadside during the week.
Yeah, good man. You've seen the sign, so good stuff. Yeah. I don't know about novel, but I suppose we're sort of following on from the success that Spar GAA have with their national sevens. I mean, this is probably a little bit of a smaller venture, because we wouldn't be as big a club, obviously, as Spa. But we've been tossing this idea around for a number of years now, and I suppose over the last few years we didn't really want to stand on our neighbours' toes, because, as you know, they run a 7-a-side and have been doing for the last 45 years. But eventually we came to the sort of conclusion that this is something completely different, and it is. It's a one-day event. It's going to feature teams from all over Munster, from Clare, from Tipperary, from Limerick, and from Cork, you know, as well as a smattering of teams from Kerry. But it's a tournament. It's a knockout tournament, and it's for ladies and men's. We have, I think we have 16 men's teams, so we've got four groups of four, and at the moment we have 9 women's teams. This is all senior level. We've some teams from Munster Senior League. We've teams from all the junior leagues around the country, and we've actually got the FAI Junior Cup winners from this year, and some very, very good standard teams. Like, we have Nina AFC in Avondale, and Leeds AFC, Newmarket. So there's a lot of very, very good teams that are coming down. I mean, we played against some of these guys in a lot of the outside competitions, but we think we've got a formula that's going to give everybody, weather permitting, a fantastic day on the 27th of July.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, as you say, kind of featured more so on, you know, your club teams coming in, as opposed to, you know, 7 or 10 lads coming off the street and, you know, playing your 7-a-side. It's focused in on club football, as they see, senior men's and women's teams as well.
Indeed, very much so. But I mean, like, if we did go the other route, we would definitely be standing on our neighbours' toes. And, you know, we didn't want to do that, because a lot of our lads sort of take part in the athletic competition. And, you know, and thankfully Athletic are going to be part of this tournament as well. So it is completely different. You know, like I say, it's open to everybody. We're hoping to give a really good day out to, you know, not just to people that are interested in soccer, but to locals. You know, we've a kids' zone which will be fully supervised, so it'll be something, you know, the mums and dads can go and watch the football, or they can partake of a drink in the bar. We've a fully licensed bar, the whole thing. The kids will be supervised. We have professional catering, full bar, cash prizes for the winning teams, professional referees. You know, so there's a lot of effort gone into this and a lot of thought, and you know, hopefully, I suppose our aim this year is to try and get the thing right. You know, in the hope that teams will sort of want to come back. We have the facilities, and we've had the facilities always, you know, but we've never attempted anything on this scale. And I think this is going to be a really big event, and, you know, a spectacular event. I know we're calling it a 12-hour spectacular. It's from 9 to 9, but we hope people will come out and support us and enjoy the day out. You know, we think there's something there for everyone, and particularly anyone who has an interest in soccer will really love this, because, like I said earlier, there are some fantastic club teams coming down to visit.
Yeah, and you say it's open to the everyday spectator to come along and enjoy the day as well.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's a very modest entry fee. I mean, I think we're looking for €10 to come in. You know, so people can bring the kids along. It's certainly something, you know, you could spend the day up there on the 27th of July on a Saturday afternoon. Hopefully the sun will come out and shine, and everybody will have a good time. We have music going on in the bar in the evening. We have DJs all day, and we have a band, I think from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. They're a group of young lads from Killarney, the Hacksaws. And, we think they'll probably bring the house down. So, like I said, there's something there for everybody. And the quality of the football should be fantastic as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And a fantastic facility in Killarney and Killarney Celtic. You had a fantastic year, Paul, in both locally and, of course, in Munster with cup runs, everything else. Busy preparing again for next year's season?
Well, I suppose that's, to some degree, that's kind of the purpose of this, and at the time that it's coming in. I mean, the season probably won't kick off till sort of early September. But this is great for sort of teams that are getting ready. It's a bit of pre-season. It is seven aside, but it's panels of 10, you know. So you're nearly talking, you know, people can bring along their top 11 players or their top 10 players, really, you know. So it's a good opportunity for them to get some practice in for a pre-season. So, you know, yeah, we're busy getting ready for next year. Hopefully we'll try and do the same again, or as come as close to it as we can. We had a really good run again this year, as you said. For the sixth year in succession, we won the Cup and League in Kerry. The Kerry District League, and we came close in sort of two of the outside competitions, get to semi-finals in the Munster Junior Cup and in the Munster Champions League. So yeah, so all round pretty good, you know.
All positive in Killarney. And as you mentioned, the Sevens football, it takes on a small bit of a life of its own, doesn't it? You mentioned your neighbours Athletic and their tournament. The Sevens football, there's something kind of a bit fun about it as well, that it'll be an enjoyable day out for these lads as much as a competitive, but there's a sense of enjoyment to the Sevens side of it.
I think the lads will love it, yeah. I mean, you know, Seven-a-side has been a great sport for years, you know, where sort of people, friends and sort of pals come together, and like we rent out our small pitch up to lots of different sort of community groups that mm-hmm. play Seven-a-side at Celtic. So there is this big interest in Sevens. You know, there's lots of tournaments and lots of competitions, and hopefully I think it should be really exciting, because, you know, when you're playing Sevens, there's a lot of scope for sort of moving the ball around. It's not as tight out there, and there should be a lot of action. I think it should be really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think we're really looking forward to it.
I think we've all had a go at seven aside at some point. It's a sport that everyone can obviously just go out and pretty much play at a fairly average level now. I was never the best seven aside footballer in my life, but it was always a nice community feel to it. And obviously with these teams coming down with their full squads, they'd be taking it quite serious as well. So fantastic day out.
Oh, you can be sure.
Say that again, Paul.
You can be sure they'll be taking it serious. There's no doubt of that. You know, these fellas won't be coming down for fun. They'll be coming down to win. You know, so it should be very interesting, I think.
Absolutely, a good spectacle for everyone. Just Paul, before you go, just give us the final details of the dates and times again.
Yep. So it's Celtic Sevens, Saturday 27th of July. It's at Celtic Park in Doreen. It's a seven-a-side soccer tournament. Full bar, supervised kids play area, 12-hour spectacular, €10 entry, everybody's welcome. So, you know, hopefully we teams from all over Munster come along and enjoy the day, and we look forward to seeing you all up at Celtic Park.
Fantastic.
And thanks for the opportunity, Ivan. Really appreciate you talking to us this evening. Thank you.
No problem at all, Paul. That's Paul Sherry, the vice chairman from Killarney Celtic, who have a sevens tournament coming up, as you mentioned, a small bit about, a bit like the Spa GA sevens that we saw a couple of weeks back on the June bank holiday, kind of marked for the top teams in Munster to come down and partake in a soccer sevens across a day in Celtic. As you mentioned, full bar facilities, everything else in Celtic for the day, so that should be a fantastic day out. If anyone in around the Killarney area on in the end of the month, at the end of July, to get up to Killarney Celtic, and they've been such a successful club, both underage and at Kerry District League level. As you said, Munster as well fell short in two semi-finals this year, but Killarney Celtic are always definitely up there, and some fantastic facilities as well in Doreen, as Paul mentioned there. You're listening to Radio Kerry, you're listening to Terrace Talk, and it's Ivan in for Donal this evening. We're here until 8 o'clock. We'll be chatting the Euros a little later on as well. Have you been following the Euros? What have you made of the action so far? Are Spain the favourites to win it? We'll be chatting to a journalist who's looking at all things Euros a little later on. And up next, we'll be chatting to Austin Stacks, who won the Acorn Life County Under 21 Football Championship midweek last week. We'll be chatting to them after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan in for Donal for the remainder of the evening. We're here until 8 o'clock. We're surrounded by Austin Saxman in the studio. They had a fantastic win in the Acorn Life County Under 21 Football Championship Final last Wednesday night, beating St. Brendan's, local rivals in St. Brendan's, 2-10 to 12 points. Delighted to be joined by a couple of the players and the manager, Dennis. Dennis, we'll start with you, Dennis Sayers. Fantastic win. I mean, we were chatting down along, kind of got caught in midweek sport here. We were chatting nearly all the time in the build-up tour. It must be great for the club, especially.
Oh, it's a great boost for the club, John. Badly needed. The club has been down for a year or two, and this might just give a boost to bring it back to where it should be, playing senior football. And hopefully the boys have a big part to play in it all as well.
As you mentioned, I suppose the drop down to intermediate and everything else was kind of a shock for probably everybody in the county looking at Tralee football, and especially seeing a team like Austin Sax go down to intermediate. But seeing that there's a new crop of lads coming through and they're capable of winning under 21 county title, that must give good positivity around the club.
Oh, it's good, yeah, it's good, because to win an under 21, we've only won one, like, so it's 22 years since we last won it. I was saying that to the boys. None of them were born, like, and it's, like, if you go back at minor level, the last time Stacks won the minor championship was 1980. So, like, if you look at the two grades of underage football championship in Kerry, we've only won one in the last 22 years. So that gives you how tough it is to beat the division sides. And, you know, we did it this year. Might not happen again for a long time again.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the under 21 championship, I mean, it's probably one that goes under the radar a small bit every year, but no doubt the lads enjoyed winning this one.
Oh, I think they enjoyed a good bit of it, I think, alright, but they deserve it. You're playing sports there, and I think Wayne Quillen said it a few years ago, 99.9 times it's disappointment. So if you don't enjoy it the one day you have, You should enjoy it, Joe, when you have a good day. Enjoy every day is a good day when you have a good win. Like, but like these boys, they have a long future in front of them playing football, and hopefully they have a good year now for the rest of the year and get Stacks up to senior football again this year.
Absolutely, that's the goal. We go around the room with small, but with Shane, we'll start with yourself. I suppose, look, 2-10 to 12 points over St. Brendan's. It was a game you kind of were well ahead by half time, and they kind of came back at you a small bit. It was a tough encounter in Ostertag Park.
Oh, absolutely, a massive battle altogether, a massive battle. The Gael Force Breeze was a big one in the second half. Like, we had to play, we had to defend against it in the second half. Like, it was tough. Like, but no, we battled out, and then it was a big win. Like, so,
talk to me about playing Brendan's board, of course, an amalgamation of so many different clubs around Tralee. It felt like Stacks against Tralee in early sort of a scenario. Is that tough to play them in the Tralee setting then as well?
No, I think it's absolutely unreal, like, for Tralee, especially, like, we always see East Kerry, North Kerry in finals. Like, it's great for Tralee, around Tralee as well, like, but the buzz going up to the game and Baton especially was even better, like, so no, it was good, not to be fair, it was good.
A bit of local rivalry. Sean Oak, I was told not to talk to you about football at all. Liam Broston was on to me saying don't mention football to him. Although, say, look, I suppose long old build up to an under 21 championship, and it kind of comes and goes very quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very hard. Like, there's a mix of everything. Like, there's, we started weeks ago now, we met up and we said we'd start off, but there's so much of a gap between all the games. Cup's quick, and then 6 week break for leaving starts, kind of, that's when you kind of get the hard graft in, and sure, we got the work in and to kind of pay it off in the end, like, but it's hard with leaving certain seniors, very hard to get in training going, like, and getting all the numbers, but we worked it out and we compromised with the senior management and all came in true in the end for us.
But, like, for under 21, it's obviously the level where you're playing senior as well. Is it very hard to kind of break from the older lads in the bunch and go off on your own somewhat?
Yeah, it's hard enough, like, but at the same time, there's so much of us playing together, senior football, A's and B's. We're kind of used to playing each other with both codes, so, and it's even to schools, so we're playing each other a lot now, so it's kind of makes it easier playing together in both teams.
Brilliant. Paddy, talk to me as well about the build up to the final. Who'd you get past to get as far as Ostertag Park last Wednesday?
We had four battles, really. We started off against Rathmore, tight, came through in extra time. Then we went to Kinmare. Did we go to extra time that game? No, we won narrowly though against Kinmare, and then we played South Kerry, which we were dominant in, but came back and only won by a point in the end. So they really stood to us. Whereas on the other hand, St. Brendan's, they kind of got into the final nearly without even being tested. You know, they got a bye to the semi. So that kind of, we kind of put a lot of emphasis on that, saying that we've went through battles and they've kind of only been kind of strolling along to the final. So that definitely stood to us going into the final, knowing that we had a few battles underneath our belt.
Absolutely. And Conor, Brendan's had a bypass into the final with the semi-final with Law Rangers being postponed. Does that throw you off a small bit? Do you think, are they better prepared than us with their training, or was the match stood to you in the semi-final?
No, definitely didn't put us off anyway. I think it motivated us more than anything that we said we earned our place in the final, and we said we had a battle in the semi-final. We said they come in, we thought they come in a little bit undercooked. I thought we actually, it benefited us and it prepared us better having a tough battle in the semi-final.
Absolutely. Shane, I suppose like a lot of teams, the emphasis put on intermediate championship, senior championship, junior championship, whatever else, but obviously Stacks put a lot of emphasis on the under-21s, and you obviously prevailed, but do you think the under-21 championship is important to develop the younger age of senior players, say?
Oh, it's absolutely massive, like, because there's a massive break-off between, like, 17-year-olds to 21-year-olds. There's a massive, like, we're losing players left, right and centre, really, to be honest, like, but, like, if you're going in with 21s and you're winning the championship, like, it just drives you on for another 5-6 years, really, to play senior football, things like that. No, it's massive. It's absolutely massive.
I presume everyone's last year at 21s as well, so is the next step now, Sean?
Well, a few more, is it?
A couple more years of them, the baby face test. For, you know, getting out of intermediate now and back to senior, that's obviously the next priority, but winning this now is probably giving you that kind of boost to go on and into the intermediate championship.
Yeah, it's massive, massive for club, like, because it's been, you need to win something, keep it going, like, and it just gives the boys, if we could do it, surely, everyone else can do it, and just the winning mentality in the club is very important, like, and if we can carry through and out to seniors, they'd be going very well now from, like, yeah.
Brilliant. And Paddy, I presume the celebrations during the week were nice. I'm sure you enjoyed it, but back down to the grind now ahead of the Intermediate Championship in a few weeks.
Yeah, we've training after this now, so we'll be tested tonight again. So yeah, it's back down to earth fairly lively.
And kind of just around the club, I mean, there's so many, like, Stacks is such a big club, Connolly Park, there's so many people involved with Stacks. It must have given a good feeling around the club as much as the senior team as well, and even the younger lads coming up. It must be a great feeling around the club to land the under-21.
Yeah, 100%, the great buzz, like, all the senior players got behind us. It's just luck, just driving up and down Connolly Park, like, people saying best of luck during the week, just around town, good Stacks men, wish you best of luck, and just positive vibes, because obviously down in the dumps there getting relegated, that drives the club on and gives a positive spirit around the place and gives hope for the future.
Absolutely. Dennis, do you agree with that as well, that it's kind of has given the maybe at least a life before the Intermediate Championship that Stacks needed?
Oh yeah, it's like you need a bounce in the club every so often, and to come to the league now there's a 6-week gap, and I think after winning the under-21s you kind of have a buzz that no other club has at the moment. Do you know, like, the boys are on about going up the trend, you know. You can't buy that. You just, it's drive, it's mentality drive that's mm-hmm. winners, you know.
And, you know, is it a good sign that a club can come out and win the under-21 championship, given, you know, the level that, you know, we saw North Kerry the last couple of years, how strong they've been in it as well, that the divisional sides have nearly dominated the under-21. It's great to see a club being able to come through with, you know, the 25-30 fellas at that age to go on and push on for the under-21 over a divisional team as well.
Oh yeah, like, we had up to 34 players tagged out last Wednesday night, and there was another 4 or 5 that were injured, and there was 3 away in holidays, and like, if we had them all, we'd probably have 40 under-21s. And Shane touched on it there, like, minors finishing at 17 going straight into senior football, under-21 is very important. So if you can keep them and drive them on for the next few years, this bunch now is safe for the next 2 or 3 years, but the next bunch coming up, you have to have another good run next year. And I think the county board would have to look at the under-21 championship and maybe stretch it out a bit more, or do a league format or something, because you could lose one game and that's their football finish for the year. So
yeah, it's over quite quickly, isn't it? You're not going to complain the fact that you won it, but it is a fairly rapid fire format. But I suppose there's so many different competitions between district boards now. You've county league, your championship, there's so much going on, it's kind of hard to fit it in, especially at 21 when they're playing senior as well.
Oh, it's hard, like, the Killander club now is squashed up, like, the county league is over in 3.5 months. That used to take 8.5 months to do, but like, it's all to free up for the championship, for the intermediate, junior and senior. But like, if you haven't the young players in another 4 or 5 years, you won't have a senior championship, you won't have a junior championship. So everything is like, say, like last year, you know, we played South Kerry in the first round in Connolly Park, we lost by a point, devastated, we were devastated because most of the boys like were saying that's all football now, we've only a few junior games left. And like it's like one game in the championship is tough to take. Mm-hmm. That's why it's hard to win as a club. Do you know what I mean? Like in division sides have dominated. It's East Kerry, I think, have done 5 in a row. North Kerry were thinking they were going to do 2 in a row this year, but they're all strong divisions. And then you throw South Kerry, like in South Kerry were probably the toughest team we played all year, and that was coming from last year. We got a monkey off our back there because going back at minor level when these boys were minor, South Kerry knocked us out as well. So. Mm-hmm.
Brilliant stuff, Les. Thanks so much for popping in. The cup and all is up here in the studio. Fantastic to have you in, and the very best of luck going into the Intermediate Championship, and of course the lads who are still under 21 for next year as well. To the best of luck to maybe retain it. Did you want to come in there once more?
I just want to send all best wishes to Tadhg McMahon. He's bit sick at the moment, and we're all thinking about it, and last Wednesday night was for you, Tadhg.
Lovely stuff. We echo those sentiments, Dennis. We'll take a break and we'll chat Euro soccer after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
You're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're in the final home straight this evening now, and Donal is back in next Monday evening. We're just keeping the seat warm for him for 2 weeks. But by next Monday, the European Championships, the Euro 2024, will have come to a close. Of course, the final on Sunday at 8 o'clock. We're yet to find out who's going to be in that. We'll find out tomorrow. Spain taking on France, and it's the Netherlands up against England on Wednesday. Two big standout games to finish off the tournament into the final on Sunday. To chat a little bit about the Euros and what we've seen so far, delighted to say we're joined by freelance sports journalist Jonathan Higgins. Jonathan, you're very welcome along to Terrace Talk this evening. How are you?
Too bad. All is good in the kingdom.
All is well here in the kingdom. We're looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final next Saturday. I suppose chatting the Euros, Jonathan, it probably took a while, you know, for everybody to get into. I don't know, was it the lack of Irish interest in the whole tournament, or was it the kind of group stages where finishing third kind of didn't really matter to most? It's took a while to get going, but my God, it got going the weekend.
It didn't, Ivan. Maybe I'm getting a cynical old man in my old age, but I'm still waiting for this to spark. It hasn't gripped me like the tournaments that would have had back in the day when we were a kid obsessed to it. I'm not sure if it's the greater conversation without going too much on a tangent of quantity, not quality, and everything that goes in between. You know, we've heard the likes of Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, you know, beat the drum this for the last 2 years at least, speaking about the amount of games that players are playing, and I think it's definitely had an effect. You touched on the tournament structure there as well, also just in terms of you're kind of waiting for the group stages, and okay, they don't really matter because if you finish third, you're still going through. We'll wait for the next stage. That's okay, we'll wait for the next stage. And it just feels like, I know we had a bit of excitement over the weekend, but it's still not wow in your face, really, is it? And it's going to be over, as you touched on, at the weekend. And it's, to many people, I think, I'm not quite sure it's caught the sporting neutral fan either. You look at some of the football that's been played. Maybe it's a little bit akin. Maybe are we allowed to mention that quarterfinal victory over Derry yet? It's that type of level of entertainment, isn't it? Really, a lot of the games so far, like you look at France here, having scored a goal themselves from open play. You look at England, who've stanked the place out. You know, there's not a lot to get you really excited. We had moments, and you know, it started off a little bit. You know, in terms of people are talking about the amount of goals and would they beat ratios from competitions gone past. I think a lot of that was just down to the lack of quality. We've had, you know, a couple of moments with some of the smaller nations coming through, about that excitement, but by and large we're in the business end now. And would you say it's really gripped you? Yes, you'll don't get me wrong, I'll contradict myself, and you'll look at the semi-final tomorrow, which is probably in a good as a, really a final, isn't it, that side of the draw?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was chatting to a couple of people about this, Jonathan, during the week and probably in the last couple of weeks about the Euros, and you know, we all entered the various different sweepstakes and all that kind of jazz that was going on. But there was a couple of answers came back to me about the Euros. I'm going to ping a couple at you. One was obviously Ireland's omission. I mean, we're used to not being at major tournaments at this stage, if that's fair enough to say that. But I think Ireland being at 2012 and 2016 has kind of given some bit of life around those two European championships, and maybe safe enough to say the last one was played during COVID times as well, so the whole Irish support and all that wasn't going to be there anyway, despite Ireland not qualifying. But That's the first one I'm going to chat to you. Ireland not being at these tournaments, it probably does take a small little shine off it for a lot of the neutral followers here at home, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Like, those type of events turn into more than just sporting occasions. They become into, I suppose, social gatherings, whether that's meeting a few mates, you know, in the pub or whatever, or catching up with even work colleagues and stuff like that tend to get into it. It's the conversation with the water cooler and everything else, mm-hmm. or out in the farm, out in the street, or wherever, you know, wherever your form of profession is. By and large, when Ireland's in it, it becomes a conversation of the day, not just in the sporting platform. So that definitely is a good chunk of weight. It probably speaks more volumes about our lack of quality at the moment, really, doesn't it? It's a watered down tournament. If it keep extending it until it'll be sooner harder not to qualify than qualify, but yet we seem to be further than ever away. And look, football is in a dark place in the country at the moment, isn't it? You see some of the coverage and the sickening coverage over the weekend. Mm-hmm. The FAI are scampering back to far more important concerns rather than actually on the playing field. But I think the lack of the appointment of the manager and the whole fiasco about what John O'Kay and everything. I think that's added into the whole general vibe about the lack of interest in it. And there's an argument to be made, isn't it? I know you're a big League of Ireland man as well, Ivan. That's a nice short trip last Thursday evening. But there's an argument that a lot of people are kind of moving away from say the juggernaut and moving back to League of Ireland. And you see the attendances in League of Ireland grounds up and down the country, not just Dublin, and there's a bit of spark there, isn't it? Maybe that's just a little bit of a renaissance of the romantic side, but the tournament as a whole, you're definitely right. Ireland not being there certainly hinders a huge form of, I suppose, interest and talk and conversation.
Yeah, I mean, like, you think back to, wasn't it 16, where Ireland, the dramatic goal against Italy and being 1-0 up against France. I mean, like, it's not the romantic days that our fathers got to see, but for our generation, we thoroughly enjoyed those tournaments. And obviously the hope is there that Ireland will qualify for these things again. But I definitely think just the sort of neutral support, or sort of a, I used to say, the man at the water cooler could tell you who Ireland were playing these tournaments, but he mightn't tell you who's playing tomorrow now in the semi final, that Ireland had no interest in this tournament whatsoever. The other side of the coin then was, obviously we're so used to these games being on now in June every second year between World Cups when they're not on in Qatar or European Championships. The GAA season, especially down here in Kerry, so much interest obviously in the intercounty game, and we saw fantastic games over the weekend as well. But when these things kind of come to head and clash, it's very hard to, you know, take your eyes off a Limerick Cork hurling game to watch England and Slovakia in the Euros, just giving that example. I know they didn't clash, but very hard for, you know, the neutral fan if there's something bigger and better on at home that they might be interested in as well. And I don't, that kind of goes, you know, probably talking for a lot of sports, but, you know, a competition such as the Euros now with the GAA season being kind of pushed forward into the latter stages of a GAA tournament on now as opposed to September probably does take away from the fact of a big game of a weekend here as well, doesn't it?
It does. I won't get into split season over here.
No.
I won't shut up, and I'm sure it's been heavily talked about down in the kingdom there as well. It's decisive. It's certainly caused a lot of debate. What I would say is, whether you're for the split season or not for the split season, I know things, and like, you know, you're on the beat, you're out of games as well at the weekend. I missed a huge amount of sport by just being at games over the weekend, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still trying to catch up. Like, I was at a League of Ireland game on Friday or Thursday, and then, but at the weekend, just a women's game on Saturday, and then the ladies football game on Sunday, and I missed such a chunk of sport that was on. Whether it was Euros, it was the Ireland rugby game, you just can't, like, I'm a sports addict, but it is actually hard to keep up with it all at the moment. You, like, and even if you are at home, you'd need about five or six different screens just to keep up with all the amount of sport on as well. You know, it is that way. It's a saturation point at the moment, and like every sport is going a bit more, like, take that rugby tour, that's just commercialised out. The players no more want to be down there than the man on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
They're extending their out to look at the juggernaut machine that is the Euros. It's all about games. You look at the NFL, they're moving games over in Europe. Now it's the Premier League trying to move games over to the US, and etc. Everyone's trying to milk it, trying to squeeze the last drop out of it. So it is almost at saturation point. And what goes next, who knows? But you can certainly see, if we're talking about the Euros here, and we're talking about football, it is, we are seeing the squeeze now starting to have the negative effects, because the football at times stinks the bed out. And look, that's across, you know, if you want, I don't want to keep going back to that Derry game, but like, I nearly fell asleep a couple of times in Croke Park during it. It was awful to watch. Kerry O'Donoghue were professional streetwise with the game they had to play, and they did play it, and they got through, they got their reward. But as a neutral trying to get onto that, you won't keep the conversation in sporting people, never mind non-sporting or middle of the land sporting people as well, if you know what I'm saying, people that might be swayed a little bit by sport, catch up in the big games. It's hard to keep all going. There is a saturation point, and again, I started saying I don't want to sound like a grumpy old man. I think I am sounding like a bear as well, but it is, I think it is a reality of it. It was a puke football. It was famously said down here.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
We're like that now, but
we're getting to that age. But I mean, like, yeah, I definitely think sports saturation is probably something that should be talked about more, because we're introducing so many different competitions, and even when you look at the soccer or football, whatever you call it, I mean, like, you're moving into a year where there's going to be two more group stage Champions League games for every club. They're at about a club World Cup that's going to take over a month in like the States with group stages. There's a certain time we're going to have to put a plug on these things, and I don't want to go back into the whole Super League notion and all this, but like, as you say, like, sports saturation is becoming probably a serious enough issue, because there's only so many places on, you know, TV channels or local radio where, like, you can't cover everything, and that is going to have a negative effect for everybody in the end. But I don't think, you know, UEFA are going to chime in with the GA to arrange various things. But I suppose we have to be careful in, you know, an age that we're living so digitally, and everything can, you know, you've everything at your fingertips now, but if you've too much to gather, the human brain won't be able to digest all of it.
No, and like the small elements, aren't we? We're looking at attendances, if you take Gaelic football and Ireland, like, obviously it was packed at the weekend, it'll be packed again this weekend, you would imagine, but by and large you're seeing the GAA have to move a lot of games out of Croke Park to give, you know, tangible evidence of what we're talking about there. It is hard to keep people and entice people to come back when it is the product, is the expense and everything that goes to it worth the hassle that it's going to cause, and are you getting the exact same entertainment? I don't want to go down and dish in Gaelic football. I don't think Gaelic football is as bad as places people made out.
No.
There is teams that stink the place out. To give one example of that, and you've seen pretty much the Northern Tigers, and I'm sure, look at this conversation that many times you've talked about over the years, and you're left in a situation where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you try and play your own football against them, they'll get caught on the counter attack with you, and they'll open you up. You're thinking, what the Tyrone teams did to you guys over the years, you're thinking to Donegal against Dublin in that infamous game that was nearly the death of Gaelic football. So you have to try and match them, and then you're playing them at the same game, and it just leads to a complete bore fest. We've seen a lot of that in soccer as well, football, whatever your variation of the word, in the Premier League as well. We've seen a lot of teams now just take no risk, possession football. What did Brendan Rodgers used to say? Death by football, but it's almost more than by football at times, isn't it? Just passing the ball, and you're seeing, particularly like when you see smaller teams trying to imitate out like the likes of Pep's passing tactics, and when you're trying to do that with lesser players, it just leads to an awful spectacle. At Klopp, to be fair, we were blessed at Liverpool, a bit more spark to him, and a bit more sure, look, we'll have a last year sort of mantra out of that, and feed off the energy of the crowd and everything that goes with that. But by and large, you can argue that it is become born. Even like rugby can be quite hard to watch as well. There's so many bloody stoppages in it, and you have those farcical scenes on the highlights that I watch when your player down getting what looks like a heavy enough injury, and they're blaring music over the PA 100 miles an hour trying to create a bit of atmosphere in it. So yeah, we have to be careful, I think, in the sporting world, that we're not all the commercialised beast that is there at times. Doesn't necessarily be for the betterment of the sport itself.
Yeah.
But look, we'll still watch it. I wonder if you'll be the biggest hypocrites of all kind.
Absolutely, we'll be up and down the country. Jonathan, we have to take a very quick break, but I'm actually going to take you back up on that point of death by football. I think that's what's after happening to us during this Euros. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back to the Euros after this.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, we're in the company of Jonathan Higgins for the next 7 minutes or so. However, I'm not enjoying the Euros as much as usual either. The players are getting no break. It's non-stop for them and the quality is bound to suffer as a result. Jonathan, that's actually another very valid point made by Charles on that one. I mean, as you say, the quality hasn't been there, and I think a lot of the case scenario is there was very little, how do I put it, you weren't going to win the Euros in the group stage, you weren't going to get knocked out in the group stage. Last 16 was probably, you know, not a huge amount of, for a lot of teams, was a case of just getting through your game there as well. Quarterfinal then probably a small bit more intense, and that's why I kind of said it might have kicked on a small bit. But again, that death by football, and we'll come back to that, is that it was a Euros with a lot of games and an awful lot to digest from it as well.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit taken back there. Someone agrees with me. That's quite a shock. I'm just joking. it is, you know, it very much is. And I think you saw that towards the end of the Premier League season as well, didn't you? Even like the likes of the Man City's tailed off and were caught by United in the cup finals or sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That game was played earlier on in the year and City wiped the tails off them. But they were just burnt out. It's so emotionally and physically draining. And then to try and ask them to come back again, I think that's why we're speaking about Man City, but look, the likes of Foden, like, he's one of the standout players in the Premier League, you know, buzzing around the place, and he looks half wrecked, doesn't he now? Or yeah. Not that he's not interested or whatever, he's burnt out, I think is probably the only way of describing it. And he's, you know, so poor. Same with Harry Kane, looks like he can only run around the place out there. And there are only a couple of examples. We'll probably focus a bit more on England when we've got more of a closer eye on them, but it's reflective really of just where we are with just a squeezed calendar. And like this, you can only go to the well so many times, and something has to give, and unfortunately it is the quality of the tournament, and there's no way of glassing it up. It's been quite poor, and it's been thorough. Like, is it helped by as well as some of the managers? Then I think I'm thinking of DJ Josh Holmes. Like, he comes into the situation really now where he has a very talented squad, and this has been for the last couple of competitions as well. But he probably knows, for better or for worse, if I play free flowing football here, this isn't going to work. So he plays what I describe as effective tournament football. Absolutely stinks the place out, but it is effective when they get over the line. And touching earlier on, having scored a goal from open play, it's quite staggering really, isn't it, when you think of the firepower and the quality they have in that team. But they're still, for me, the favourites to get through. I tipped them before, and like many others did, and nothing has changed in my mind since. It's just they're that old diesel engine, that old Carina, that'll just keep on going and going and going. It might be battered around, but it'll keep on going, and eventually will get you from A to B. And like, are we going to take something, is there something crazy going to happen? We haven't really had a huge moment or
no.
Something spectacular in terms of even non-football, and like a smashing, you know, a dirty red card or something crazy, or a bit of fight, or, you know, anything out of the ordinary to get you going and get you off the edge of the seat. You struggle to think back now. I wouldn't envy any of the people involved in TV production to try and put through like those end of season or end of competition cameos,
yeah,
and put it together and put a bit of Blair music over it. You'd be struggling for moments, really.
You want someone controversially sent home from camp in Japan or something. Just look at the semi-finals. Look, you mentioned France already, knows goal from open play, which is, as you say, staggering. Spain, probably a lot of people didn't put them in their sweepstake at the start of the tournament. They've probably been some bit of a surprise. Now, you can never be shocked with Spain, but to be fair to them, they've come through. They beat Germany as well in the quarterfinal. France, probably one of the most tested teams so far, as you say, that kind of getting the job done for them. And then the other side of the draw, and you've Netherlands and England. Netherlands have been a team that have kind of been staggering through the tournament, but they're there. And England, again, they just know how to get there, don't they? It's a case of, you know, maybe always fall at the final hurdle, but they always get to the final hurdle, don't they?
Oh, but do they? How many more times can they keep getting away with it, Ivan? Like, they've been, they've been a hard wash. It's been a tournament of poor football, but they've been really, really hard to watch. And let's call a spade here, and we're not going to gloss it up. Very, very fortunate to be still in the tournament. Southgate, I'm not sure I let him in charge of a junior C team. Do you know that sort of a it's hard with the tactics. Again, you see the amount of players at his disposal, and like, he's so reactive, isn't it, really? It's only really when, you know, you nearly have to put him at knife point to try and get him to make something, a positive change, or really go for it, which makes it even more frustrating. Then, like, even simple things at the last day, like something of this mind-blowing stuff, you know, really, really changing the world, reinventing the wheel, like putting a left foot of player at left back, you know, like, what an error. That would never work, would it, Ivan? You know what I mean? Like, isn't it crazy, really? And, you know, there's some obvious changes there. And look, but the one thing you would say with him, he has got a bit of bite back at the team in times. They certainly have the character, and certainly improved the penalty shootout skills, because you more than, I'm sure you remember as well, watching England over the years, they would just fall apart. They were like Mayo in an Ireland final when it came to a penalty shootout. But they have got that, I suppose, side of talent thing. But can you really keep on going and put that level of performance time after time after time without being caught? I think that the winner is definitely on the other side, but I think the Netherlands will just put, who actually haven't been too hectic themselves either, but I think they will just do enough here to get over the line and to end the it's coming home parade.
So we're into stoppage time, we've a minute left, Jonathan. So you're saying Netherlands to beat England on Wednesday night, tomorrow night Spain France, are we going all the way to penalties, are France going to score a goal in open play, what are we calling?
I'd say France on penalties after a horrible grind, maybe just turn in for the last couple of moments.
Lovely. If I put on the TV at 10:15 tomorrow night and the game is over, I'm blaming you.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know, there's a lot I was talking about earlier on, now we said about Gaelic football, you just come into the second half because nothing happens in the first. It's probably not hard enough to too far off, but I think France will get over the line, and I think France will progress in the final as well.
Lovely. France Netherlands final, and you're tipping France. I might call you back next Monday and see how that went. It's
We'll see you again. So you got my team either way, but all going up the road there as well. We'll hopefully to see you again in the final, and hopefully this time the coaches, club mates, and the referee, will we say that, and we got two shaky today.
Oh, you just wanted that chance in radio, Kerry, this evening. Jonathan, thanks very much for chatting to us this evening. I appreciate your time, pro Galway man Jonathan, and fond of the football, and could it be a Galway Kerry All Ireland, and myself and Jonathan will have to be opposite sides of Croke Park. I'll be in the Hogan, he'll be in the Cusick. That's about it for this evening's show. Thanks to everybody who contributed, of course, to Dan Kearney, looking back on the fantastic win for the Kerry ladies on Saturday evening, and of course the County Senior Hurling Championship about to fire into knockout action this weekend. Thanks to James and Mustard as always, to Paul Sherry in Clare Celtic, fantastic chat there on the sevens coming up in Clare Celtic at the end of the month. We chatted to Austin Stacks, who are County Under 21 football champions and proud of their win as well. Fantastic to have the lads in studio, and of course the Euro 2024 semi-final starting tomorrow, semi-final 1 tomorrow, semi-final 2 on Wednesday, and the big final on Sunday. Forgot to mention to Jonathan that there's no third place playoff this year. I had another game that was absolutely not necessary. Thanks again for everybody for texting in, for calling in over the last 2 weeks while I've been in for Donal Barry. He's back here next Monday evening. Mary Conroy is up next with Tog Sauce. Thanks very much to Cian, who was on phones this evening in my production absence. We'll do it all again next Monday. Salon.